Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Ted Santos, and it's Sunday, and it's time for some straight talk. We are the talk show that is made for men by men. Not even ladies want to miss our show. We talk about life, love, relationships, social challenges. We take a perspective that's not commonly discussed, and sometimes we're provocative, politically incorrect, and sometimes people get their feelings hurt when they watch it. Not our intent. The intent of straight talk is to do exactly what it said, is to have really straight talk. Straight, direct, honest, open, transparent conversations about things that really happen in life, in this world, and in our society, at least here in the U.S., and I know some of you are watching from other countries, you're across the pond, you're in Africa, you're in Asia, our audience is all over. The U.S., we seem to have mastered the art of political correctness where you, like they say, color within the lines, stay within the lines. We stay in the lines of political correctness, and you don't want to offend someone. You don't want to say things. You don't tell an overweight person they're overweight. You just let them keep eating themselves to death. You don't tell a person who smokes that this is unhealthy. There's things you don't say. We say we have all kinds of politically correct ways of seeing this. And the craziest thing is, in the face of all this political correctness, the irony is men have been instructed on how to be men of all things. Imagine human beings defining what it means to be a dog or a cat or an elephant. It would seem ridiculous. So straight talk was invented, created, designed, birthed out of this notion that women had all the answers for men and how they should behave and what it means to be a man and if you were a real man and all these things. All these things men have heard for several decades. Before that, men had their own rites of passage and father and son and father and uncle and grandfather and boys play. They used to say boys will be boys. Well, now boys being boys, you've got a problem. We're going to give you some medicine for your ADD because you're not acting like the girls. They're all calm and quiet. So boys and men have been classified as defective girls and women. And so here we are, straight talk, where men can talk like men, think like men, and problem solve the way men do. Especially since we live in a civilization, and so does everyone else in the world, we live in a civilization that was built on the blood, sweat, and tears, the facts, the finances of men, the risk takers, put their lives, not just their butts on the line, their lives on the line. So straight talk was created so that men had a place to think and behave the way they were designed to be. That's not patriarchy, that's nature. And if any woman is truly interested in understanding how men think in an honest, politically incorrect way, you want to come in and take some notes. If you'd like to participate, I won't shoot you down. I'd like to hear your thoughts. What's going on, PJ? Yes, the obvious. Yes, that is the obvious way to know the difference between a man and a woman. Well, hey, PJ, there's some sneaky stuff going on in the U.S. It's not so easy anymore. You have to get birth certificates, and I think they're passing laws to even allow people to change the gender at which that they at which they were born. So you can't just tell by that anymore. What's going on, Imperator? I see you guys in the house on Instagram. Thanks for joining. I see you, and back to Cali. My brother's in Cali, if it's the same Cali. What's going on, West Coast? What's up? So, Straight Talk was created to solve a problem. It, we have told men how to be men. And then there are some people in social media who are correcting women. But the gap, the void that's still there is that we've told men that they were wrong for being men. And even recently, in the 21st century, there is this thing called toxic masculinity. Imagine being a dog and barking and being told you're toxic. That's a toxic dog for barking. And a lion has claws and his fangs, and he's toxic for being able to, lions are toxic for hunting and killing and eating live animals. That's the way nature designed it. Men didn't do that. So here we are as men. Hey, country boy, good to see you in the house. Yes, madness in the U.S. What's going on? Hey, Alexander Mills, man, on the road again. I assume you're on the road and you have your sidekick sitting by you listening to all this. Thanks for joining. And I'm late coming out of the gym, so I'm still taking a few bites. You'll have to excuse me, guys. Always good to eat after you work out. This will be, my show is always interactive. I invite you to call in and engage me and other men. Sometimes we like what one another say, and sometimes we don't. If you'd like to call in, the phone number is 323-642-1387. That's 323-642-1387. I can drop a link for the YouTube. And you know, I always like to do some screen share, so I'm going to share the screen and we're going to talk about men and women. Women have claimed all you have to do is raise women differently and men and women will be equal, guaranteed. Yeah, PJ, good point. Why are they listening? And that, I'll read you my thoughts I had about this topic. So guys, if you haven't already, smash that like button. This is a good time to do it. Smash that. Give it a thumbs up as you come in. If you haven't subscribed to my channel, just take the time to do that. Hit that subscribe button. Smash the bell so that you receive notifications when I'm doing a show. And this is a great show to share. If you're a man or a woman with a son, this is a great show to share with us. We are going to talk about manhood, what it is, what is it? We'll talk about what it's not. We'll talk about what men have been told manhood is. And the crazy thing, it's not even men who are telling men what it means to be a man. I mean, you know, insanity. Like I said, imagine human beings telling the eagle how to be an eagle. And people will say, well, I've been in an airplane before, so I know what it's like to fly. Technically, you don't. You're in Texas. Man, Texas takes forever to drive through, unless you're at that northern part where Amarillo, and you guys in English say Amarillo. Amarillo. I've driven through that part. Only took I don't remember how long, a couple of hours. But you're on a road trip. You're a road doggy. Alex is a road doggy, man. This guy driven from California, met me here in New York at Coney Island, hung out for a bit, good to see him, meet him in person, good guy. And he's got his woman with him. Alex is traveling no frills style, like real, no frills. Caveman in a motor vehicle. So for this show, the topic is what is manhood? Some of the subtopics may sound insane, but you know, when I think about it, I've never actually done this very specific and direct topic on what is manhood. I've indirectly addressed it. So subtopics are, how does a man know he's a man? A ridiculous question, right? But it seems ridiculous, except here in the U.S., apparently when women say, well, this is what a real man would do, apparently as men, we don't know what men do. I mean, we're not even men, according to some women. My understanding is the legal age for adulthood in the U.S. is 18, so you are a man, whether a woman crowns you a man or not. In the eyes of the law, you are a man. The other one was, do men define masculinity, or is that a woman's job? So we're going to talk about masculinity. This technically isn't really a show about women, except there will be some contrast. We're going to look at the biochemistry. We're going to look at several things and how we get to manhood. What makes us that? We'll even have some, at least one article here. We'll even address feminism on this show in the context of manhood. So,
okay, let's ignore it.
Jump the gun. I do a screen share, gentlemen. Let's take at least one phone call here before I do a screen share and show you a video. I'm going to take a call from area code 870-870. You're live and on the air with Straight Talk. What's your name and where are you calling from?
Good evening to you. How's it going, man?
All right, doing pretty well. It's Kendrick, I know, right?
Oh, yeah, you know the country boy going to be in the house.
Calling from Arkansas.
Yes, sir.
So what do you think of this topic? What is manhood? That's what we're... Seems like a ridiculous thing for men to discuss, and at the same time, it's been defined by women for so long, I think it's time men sat down and talked about it. So what do you think?
Well, before you get into your little display, I will say this to you. Manhood was formed and patterned after the image of our Creator. So all this stuff about the toxic masculinity, that's a bunch of BS, because if the Creator holy and his image supposed to be holy, so that makes the masculinity itself supposed to be holy to it, regardless of men in here doing dastardly things. That's what I would say are some of the main aspects of what a manhood is. So I would love to hear what the arguments of those feminists are going to say in your presentation.
So the Creator's pretty powerful, huh?
It really is powerful. He created all men after his image, Ted, regardless of what they may be doing.
So if men were created in image, that would make men pretty powerful also, huh?
Yes, sir. Just like he gave the women the ability to bring life into the world, but the life started with their name, Ted. Everything started with Adam. All of us have to pattern after that image, Ted.
Yeah, imagine that. Adam
but they're not going to tell you that.
Yeah, and Adam was given domain, and he was told what the laws were, so he laid down the law, and woman ignored him.
And now this feminist stuff and knowing exactly all the original things of what Adam stood for, they're ignoring all that. But I'm glad you brought this up so we can get into it.
Perfect. Let's see what this is kind of for payment. Let's do a screen share, gentlemen. So we're going to look at a video, and the topic, the name of this video is "Why Are Males Often More Physically Aggressive?" Let's see what they have to say about that.
Okay, let's ignore everything we know about males and females for now. So like males aren't mustached, beer-drinking slabs of testosterone, and it's possible to leave a girl alone with your chocolate. Let's break it down to the basic definition of male and female. What we call a male will be the genetic class or genetic variety of a species that produces the smaller sex cell, the smaller gamete. The female makes the larger one. Female gametes move around less, they take more effort to make, and females are almost always the ones that store the babies as they gestate. So let's make two different communities. One is made up of 9 females and 1 male, and the other 9 males and 1 female. In terms of reproduction, what might we see differ? Well, in the first, the male could fertilize all 9 females, probably in the same day. And then after, let's say, 5 months or whatever this thing is, all the females would have an offspring and the male would have lots of offspring. Okay, what about the other community? After 5 months, only the female and 1 male would have an offspring. And then what? It's someone else's turn? Creatures want to leave behind as many offspring as possible. And they...
So there's a one biological difference, right? One guy, 9 women, 9 men, 1 woman. That one guy could, as he said, impregnate all those women and possibly just do it in one day. So there are limits that women have that men don't have. Imagine that. If there were 9 men and 1 woman, it would take her about 8 years, maybe more, depending on how her body recovers from each pregnancy. But it could take her anywhere from 8 to 18 years to have a child by each man. Now, I know there are cases where 2 men can impregnate 1 woman in the same day, and it has happened. Even woman being impregnated by men of 2 different races. So, yes, that could happen. That's a shortcut, but it's not. It doesn't always work that way because men in our sperm, right? This video was about why are men physically aggressive. Even our sperm is aggressive. Out of our sperm, there are 3 different categories, and only one kind of sperm is designed to fertilize the egg. The other 2 kinds of sperm are only there to support and assist the sperm that fertilizes the egg. One sperm make sure the fertilizing sperm doesn't get caught in some corner or crevice, so it fills those in so the sperm can just keep moving and never get stuck somewhere. The other sperm, 3rd one, is the warrior, the mighty warrior. And that sperm looks for sperm from other men and kills it. It aggressively attacks the sperm of any other man that's in the body. So we have warrior sperm. So biologically, our whole genetic DNA has levels of aggression in it that support our survival. What else does this guy say?
They could get killed by falling rocks tomorrow. They really want to reproduce as soon as possible. They're all going to want to breed, and they're not going to want to share. So they'll fight over her. This is a part of why all over the animal kingdom you see the males being more physically aggressive than the females, because females are more of a scarce resource to male reproduction than males are to females. From the female's point of view, she can pick whatever male she wants as a mate. She also wants to make as many offspring as possible, but because she can only produce 1 every 5 months, she'll be choosier with whom she mates than the male is. still want to pick a mate that can make children with a high chance of reproducing. Maybe the biggest or strongest, since the biggest and strongest win the mating rights among the males, and is maybe a sign that this guy survives well and his kids will too. I'm not using the word want to say that they necessarily literally want something, like they're sitting there working out what the best strategy is to thread their genes around. Rather, I'm personifying the genes or the individual as having wants as a short way of saying something like, everything else being equal, females that are genetically inclined to being attracted to big, strong males will leave behind more offspring or offspring with a higher chance of reproducing compared to females who are not attracted to big, strong males. It's want in the sense that if that individual has a gene that codes for that thing, it will reproduce more. So it can kind of seem like that's what genes want to do. But
and that hasn't gone away, that women look for the, you know, strong guys physically capable of survival. But the other thing, you could be the nerd if you're like a Bill Gates and you have the money. Show me the money. Your children can financially survive in a world where being physically strong or physically superior isn't necessarily the greatest way to survive. So women look for that dude with the money. Her ideal guy is the big, strong dude who makes a lot of money. That's the ideal. That's what women, as he say, want. And yes, Imperator, I'm showing this. This is entertainment. I'm glad you find it hilarious. I was hoping people would get some humor out of this. Yeah, Alex, yep, definitely Warrior sperm in there. No question, no doubt. Some people hearing that. Sorry, go ahead, Kendrick. What were you going to say?
The thing I find funny, Ted, about this whole, they want this big, tall, giant, masculine dude, is that's also can be a facade too, and they don't even realize it, because some of those dudes, even though they claim they want, he appears to be one thing, but if the nitty-gritty really, if the rubber really meets the road, to how many of them big old dudes do you know that can adapt and live in a jungle or off-grid type of environment? And that's what a lot of these women don't understand. Them dudes ain't chopped down no trees or damn they lay. They ain't milk no cows. They ain't did none of that kind of stuff. Hunting no lions and tigers. They ain't did none of that. But he just got that appearance, something about that dude that's appealing to them. You catch my drift?
Oh, yeah. We'll talk about that. Don't forget that. What influences women to make those kinds of decisions? And are women really making decisions? So who's really defining manhood? So let's see what else they have to say in our entertainment video.
But there's a problem with this, saying that genes directly control behavior, which isn't true, right? There's no gene for, say, driving a car. Genes do influence your arms, your legs, and your brain that facilitate and create the motivation for the behavior, but saying that a gene controls a behavior is a bit incomplete. When a dog breeder picks what dog gets to breed based on what behaviors make a good pet, what they're really selecting for are the genes that create certain brain structures. But also a dog trainer can change that brain structure and behavior by training it and controlling its environment. Is there even a genetic component to her mating with this big strong guy? Maybe it's entirely environmental. Maybe he's just intimidated or even physically dominated her into mating. Your genes and the things that happen to you are what shape your phenotype. You could have some mutation that makes it so you only have one arm, but you could also lose an arm in an accident or something. Seeing a behavior and assuming a gene directly influenced it is the same as seeing someone with one arm and assuming a gene directly influenced that. It may be true, but we haven't demonstrated that. I'll come back to this later, maybe. For now, let's ignore any environmental factor and just look at what the genes might do and assume gene behavior. Let's look at two broad ways a community's social structure could evolve. You could have just the one largest, strongest male intimidating everyone and mating with all the females because he can fight and win to cockblock any other male that tries to mate. Animals with social structures like this could be described as a tournament species. Because here you have one gender, usually the males, competing for the favor of the other gender. In a system like this, you would probably get a minority of the males mating with all the females. Since he's one of the few who gets to mate, and he's probably one of the largest and most aggressive, future generations will continue to have males that are larger and more aggressive. That power may change hands often, but still favoring the strongest, or just the male with the most impressive display of health and strength and good genes. So with the tournament species, you expect to see a lot of sexual dimorphism, a lot of differences in the size, shape, and behavior between the sexes. You can even use sexual dimorphisms to predict the behavior of the species. Chickens, savanna baboons, lions, moose, gorillas all have males larger than the females, and they all exhibit some sort of tournament system. Because whoever's on top is too concerned with maintaining their alpha status, and they've got too many kids to care about, the females do most of the raising of the kids alone, and tend to have evolved to only produce one child at a time. Otherwise, they might have their hands full and not be able to give proper care to each of their children. But you can have a completely different social structure, one where both of the parents are taking care of the kids. With more parental care, the kids would have a better chance at reproduction. And since the females have some help, they would be able to produce more than one child at a time, benefiting their reproduction. Since the males are busy taking care of the kids alongside the females, you tend to get a larger majority of the males mating, rather than spending their time jockeying for alpha. Since they're not fighting and the females are selecting for parental care, you wouldn't have evolved big useless muscles or dramatic features like colorful feathers, and you would expect to see less sexual dimorphism. This would be a pair-bonding species. A good example of this is the marmoset monkey. You can't really distinguish the males from the females by looking at their behavior or their body unless you look really close. But pair-bonding or tournament species, these are just more categories that category-making people make. They're useful as very broad ideas for describing some patterns between social structure and physiology, but they're not entirely predictive. In baboons, where the males are super aggressive and can be twice as large as a female, there might be a subordinate male who's too old or too weak to ever have a chance at being alpha, but he could approach a female and groom her a lot and otherwise woo her with his parental skills, and they may have sex in secret in a more pair-bonding fashion. And you can have a situation where the entire community doesn't follow the mating rights through violence regime. Check out the...
That's interesting. A lot of guys talk about the simps. Maybe that's what they just described, is the guy, maybe the woman is only having sex with him in private. Like they said, the baboon, he's older, he can't fight and win a female. But if he gives her all the attention she wants, she just might mate with him. And there are some guys, you can call them vultures. Vultures, they circle around looking for roadkill. So if an animal is hit by a car, it's dead. It's going to die. And vultures circle around looking for that roadkill, looking for some car to crush, smash, hit a animal, hit a deer that goes off in the woods and dies in the woods. And when he dies, the vultures come down and eat him. Well, there are guys who literally do that. They orbit around certain women and wait for that woman to go through a tumultuous breakup, and she's like crushed, destroyed, like roadkill. And that guy comes in like a vulture with I've always been here for you. I'm the man for you. He gets her at her moment of weakness. She's wounded. She's been hit by relationships, and he's there to save the day because he can't compete with the other guys in any way, which is why he was friend-zoned to start with. So we're almost done with this. About a minute left to go.
The link in the description. In spotted hyenas, it's the females that are larger and dominant. Even the lowest ranking female in their dominance hierarchy is dominant to the highest ranking male. And I'm pretty sure every bonobo is just bisexual, which increases their chances of getting a date, but demonstrates there's more going on. And what about humans? Human males are on average a bit larger and are more physically aggressive than females, and females produce single children, but most cultures have some sort of monogamous marriage system. But again, a lot of marriages end and we don't seem to mate for life. And females can be attracted to both dominant traits and parental traits. Does she go with the muscular, competitive guy who's genetically predisposed to taking the shirt off, or the older, more mature guy who has feelings and stuff? or maybe both at the same time. Like a lot of species, we would be somewhere in between these two classifications. In reality, it's not about tournament or pair bonding. It's just whatever works.
Interesting assessment of what happens in our society. So I had some thoughts about this. Here are my thoughts. Over the past several decades, women have repeatedly defined and described manhood. They instructed men on how to be more masculine. They told them to get in touch with their feminine side and become better at emotional intelligence. And men took heed. Fast forward, many women complain that men are not as masculine as guys were in previous generations. In fact, many women resent the softness that many men in the U.S. display. In addition, with the proliferation of the single mother household, many boys have not had an example of a father in the home. As a result of this void, they often use the media as an example to follow and understand manhood. In too many cases, that has become disastrous. What's most unfortunate is men and women are not biologically equal. While many women believe or disbelieve this fact, our biology plays a major role in how we see the world, how we see ourselves, as well as the decisions we make. Therefore, it is time for men to sit together and define and guide one another on what it means to be a man. That's what we're here to do today. Aside from the obvious, how do men know they are masculine? I mean, that seems like a silly question, and maybe in some countries that would be a silly question. In most cases, manhood has been defined by women. Yet women long for masculine men of the past. Like, it's almost insane. So we've had women tell men, well, if you were really a man and sure of yourself, you would get in touch with your feminine side and you wouldn't be that machismo. Try to be this tough, strong guy, and you should cry, and all these rules and things that women have instructed men on, and actually men in the Western world have actually listened and followed the instructions of what women told them they should do as men. And then once women got a hold of that, they're like, well, this is the list of other things you should be doing as a man. And real men do this, and real men would never do that, and real men do this. Never, ever talking about the responsibilities of a woman. Women seem to be very clear about what men should do. And when you ask women what's their role, well, they scream, that's misogyny. You're controlling. You're trying to dominate me. You can't tell me what to do. You're just trying to control me. So this is the country we've been living in for several decades, where women define manhood and completely push back when men just ask a question about what womanhood is. And unfortunately, a lot of men have gotten caught in that trap. And the worst part is a lot of those guys get friend-zoned by women. And so men are kind of resentful. They're in a trap, not sure how to get out, especially if they grew up without a father in the home. You know, they didn't have an example of manhood. And if people think having an example is not a big deal, I remember back in the 90s, there was an elephant in the zoo in Washington, D.C., and it was, I think, the first elephant giving birth, at least in D.C., in a zoo. And so one of the things happens when elephants live in a herd, everyone at some point gets to see and witness a female elephant give birth, and they see how the whole herd, male and female, support and protect, and you know, all these things that happen. How does the mother engage with this newborn baby? Well, the elephant in this zoo was there since it was very young. And so when she gave birth, she had no idea what to do. She literally attempted to kill her baby because she never learned what to do. I don't know how painful birth is for an elephant. Maybe this thing just caused her pain and she wanted to crush it. But she had no idea how to parent a baby. So she actually attempted to kill it, and they had to stop it. I forget, maybe they put her to sleep, but it was dangerous. So even in the animal, you know, elephants are mammals, the animal kingdom, and humans are animals. If you take out these examples, and this is what has happened in the U.S., many boys are growing up without a father, and they have no idea what manhood looks like, and women have claimed they could raise a boy into a man and they knew what to do. But, you know, the jury is now in with the result, and it doesn't work. Those boys have disbanded. So are the little girls. So with this void of not having fathers in the home, lots of men grow up not really knowing whether or not they're masculine. And a lot of times what they're left with is the images of masculinity on television. So, you know, we're having this conversation so that we can look through this, and I'm going to deal with the biology. I see TJ, testosterone, yes. And there are other biochemicals, and there's even how the brain literally functions differently between men and women. So are men prepared to stand up and have balls and take masculinity by the reins and say, this is masculinity. Any woman who trespasses, we will check you, and it will be an uncomfortable experience for you. You never have a right to tell a man how to be a man or a boy how to be a boy. Back off forever.
I'm already hitting you on it, because as you can hear it in my voice, like I mentioned a couple of occasions, I'm no nonsense. And try the bad image of what masculinity being portrayed out here on TV and in the media, that's the only thing that our women know now, because they've been brainwashed and messing with it. But the positive side of masculinity, if you notice, they don't even promote that. Everything that's good and righteous and what you ought to be doing as a man, so they don't even want you talking about that kind of stuff. They don't even want the kids to see that. So it's by design, Ted, what's going on out here.
Okay.
And I'm frustrated with it.
Interesting. Well, and then when you think about every civilization around the world and throughout history has always been built by men. So how more positive do you want? Men built the safety and conveniences for everyone. And we didn't even charge women a female tax because they didn't help build it. Hey, Tony G, good to see you in the house. Yes, women wanted the hyena hierarchy and complained as a result of getting what they want. Well, they don't want the responsibility. And remember, the hyena, as they were saying, the female hyena is bigger than the male, except that hyena stands no chance against a male lion. And there are hyenas who, you know, the female becomes alpha of a new pack of hyenas. And hyenas are scavengers. You know, they do hunt, but if you watch, they steal from a lot of other predators. It's like you look at a jaguar, as powerful as a jaguar is, they don't want to fight a pack of hyenas. They say a hyena his bite is so strong it can snap an elephant bone. And there are plenty of cases where you see the hyena attack. You get 10, 20 hyenas fighting one male lion. You know, he attacks back, but, you know, he's being bitten in every direction. And all you need is a second. Two male lions and a pack of hyenas take off running. They do not want to fight two. They'll go after one. I've even seen them go after the female. So that is, that's a I will jump you kind of style. A 10 to 1, 20 to 1 ratio is how they go after. And there's a great video of a hyena agitating the pride of the females. And the male lion is back there sleeping. And when he hears it, he comes out and he crushes that female and drags that dead body. So, and technically that is what, when women talk about protection, that's the kind of protection women claim to want from men. And the females know if they want that kind of protection, they get in the kitchen and cook. That means female lions go hunting. They hunt. They do most of the hunting. They take care of the cubs. Hell, the male may not even see his cubs for a while. So imagine a female, the lioness, defined manhood or lionhood for the male lion. The hyena would exploit. And PJ, there's another problem. So there are guys who grow up with a father who isn't very vocal. He doesn't stand up for things. You know, they say the mother wears the pants in that household. And so that boy never sees his father stand up as a man. He never sees masculinity expressed from his father. So he either grows up resenting that, or he worships women, believing that women are more powerful than men. Yet, as I said, women have never built a civilization, and that's a lot of power, a lot of risk, a lot of planning. Building a civilization is not just the guy who lays bricks and the carpenter. It starts way before that with the guy who just had an idea, and then he had to go from them people who had the skills to plan. I mean, you have to build an entire infrastructure. If you want to build a civilization, you have to create educational systems and healthcare systems and ways of feeding, consistently feeding your people. Very complex. Sometimes you're betting the farm on it. I mean, look at China. They build entire cities and no one lives there. And then over time, people move into them. Risky business.
Yo, T.
What's that?
Don't forget to mention the boys wearing the uniforms, those special ops and those Navy SEALs. Don't forget about them boys because they train to kill kids. They do some lethal weapons for real. Because when you come out the red, white, and blue, you my enemy. I'm going to take you out. If I got to commit suicide, me and you both going out for the name of my country. Type of dudes you don't mess with either.
The challenge with that is, what percent of the male population do you think is a Navy SEAL?
Can we rephrase that? How many male of the American population who can snap into that frame of man on wheelchair if being provoked?
I'm asking about Navy SEALs. What percentage of the population has been trained to be a Navy SEAL? You mentioned Navy SEALs. They are specially trained.
Yeah, but any man can have those skills, though, Ted. That's what I'm saying.
No,
you see the stance I'm coming from.
That's not true, because many men go out for Navy SEALs and don't make it. The majority of men never become. A Navy SEAL is very different than a guy who tried out for it.
Almost definitely. and I agree to every word you're saying. But I'm talking about the mindset of if it come down to you doing something to me or my friend, you know what I'm saying, that frame of mind that neighbor still in, he going to take you out, or either take you and him out. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
that's where I was coming from. And you got a bunch of them running around out here. Calling themselves patriots.
Not that many. What's going on, Sean Hensley? TJ, you think 20% of the male population has qualified and become a Navy SEAL? That's huge. Maybe 20% of the male population is in the military, not a Navy SEAL. That's a different breed of a man.
It really is. But just know I don't have to wear them all those badges on the head to know what to do if it come down to it.
But see,
I know about cobalt operation.
See, people think Navy SEALs is about violence. They are trained to kill. But see, what Navy SEALs are really trained to do is handle things when everything goes wrong. And that may have nothing to do with violence. It's having a mindset to handle breakdowns. That's the thing that a lot of guys don't do well. And as a result, a lot of guys end up following women. That's the civilization we've gone to here, at least in the U.S. Men are following.
Me, Ted, I go against the grain. I'm an outlier. And I already told him, you can call me rogue. I'm of the rogue nation. I'm not playing to you. They either gonna get in line with me I'm that old sergeant general type. You either get in line, the soldier, or I'm gonna put you in line. That's that type I am. I believe in order, Ted. I was raised on discipline, morals, and having a backbone to it. Stand up for something, you'll fall for anything to it. That's the type I was raised from.
Okay.
But I can't speak for all men. You know what I'm saying? I can only speak for me.
Okay. Hey, Tony G, we were talking about this Friday about it going up in flames. It won't go up in flames. China will come in and take over. And what China will do, because the men in the United States failed at managing their women, they won't need those men. They'll be spoiled apples, and the Chinese will kill the men left in the United States. They will be executed because if they're not executed, they will be slave labor to rebuild anything that's destroyed. But you better believe they won't want it to look like Hiroshima and rebuild. And keep the infrastructure that's here.
Oh, yeah, because they, what fool want to blow up the infrastructure, Ted, if you know your land over there in your country sinking, what good would it do for you to blow up another landmass where you got to have somewhere to plant your food? So
yeah.
They not stupid, Ted. They not stupid by a long shot.
Well, China's not sinking, so it's not like they're looking for a place where they're sinking.
They want domination, but still they don't bought land over here. They got the majority not just the wilderness lands here in America, but they got a lot of real estate and things of that nature here. And it was said that once they do invade this country, they're going slaves for them. But then you're going to have an uprising with some of the rebels out here. But most Jews not going to be no rebels. They're going to be enslaved, like you're saying.
They'll send a million soldiers and just wipe it out.
Oh, yeah, it's easy. But all I know, if they come for me, they better know what they're doing. That's real talk. I'm ready to move hell and heaven to if they come after me.
Yeah, they'll be... they would be prepared. They're a no-nonsense society.
Oh, best believe I'm not either. Because if they stab me, I'm going to be whooping their ass when I cross over. Real talk.
Yeah, they'll be more prepared than most people want to know. Hey, TJ, they say each year the Navy recruits about 40,000 people for Navy SEALs, and only 6% meet the SEAL requirements. So imagine, 6%. So that's about 2,000, that's about 2,500 men who meet the requirements. A lot of them don't make it. So I want to take in another caller, area code 323. You're live on the air with Straight Talk. What's your name and where you calling from?
Hey, Santos. You better stop paying attention to your YouTube viewers and pay attention to your Block Talk listeners.
I'm here.
I'm messing with you, Ted. This is Joe.
I'm here. I know. You see, I'm here. Come on. Who would ignore Joe? Come on.
Good evening.
Oh,
Joe.
Yeah. Take a look at the time. I've been ignored for 18 minutes.
I apologize for that. Yeah.
Nah, no, don't worry about it. Anyway, so I've been listening to it. And you're talking again about the influence of parents on children. And, yeah.
Well, no.
Take an example.
Hey, Joe, the question is, what is man?
Yeah.
We're only talking about, yes, there is an influence of parents on children, but really, in the U.S., I am saying for the past several decades, women have defined what manhood is, which would seem insane. So I'm asking, what is manhood? Do men really know? Or have women done such a good job with propaganda and telling men what it means to be a man that men no longer even know what manhood is?
Well, women, again, they're picking and choosing when toxic masculinity is good versus what is bad. I was on my show last night. It's a show I go to on Saturdays, good shows. It's always about politics. And there's a panel of six that always shows up. But this woman there, we were talking about people standing up, non-compliance to what's going on in America today. So she had the audacity to say, because she was bringing up an example that on an airplane, there was a two-year-old child who wasn't wearing a mask. So they took the child and the parent off the plane, and her particular thrust on that particular example was that nobody stood up for the mother. She's one of these pro-female types, princess types. So, okay, I said, yeah, everybody should have. Then she expands upon that and says that, you know, here you are. There are people who film women getting beaten up in the streets, or even men getting getting beat up, and they don't participate. They don't they don't engage. They don't help out. So I say, maybe they should, but there's also another side of the story. I, for example, have intervened in 5 different street fights and club fights. One was a person I knew about. The other 4 I didn't know anything about. And I said, I am never ever going to intervene again because I was lucky. I did not get a shiv in the back. But I'm not going to risk it anymore. So
right.
Do you know what the broad says? The broad says, and I said to her, you, have you ever intervened in a physical fight? She says, no, but I've intervened in verbal fights. I said, in a physical fight. She says, no, because I never had the opportunity. I said, since you never had the opportunity, you don't know what you would do, and you shouldn't say anything. Do you know what she says? She says, wounds heal. If she were right next to me, I would have slapped that bitch right across fucking Mars.
Well, did you ask her about
wounds,
the guys who were killed? Breaking up a family?
No, we didn't talk about that. We went on to something.
Joe, she said the perfect line. You should have said, you know what? I didn't think about that. You're right. Wounds heal. So a woman should just take her ass kicking and know that she'll heal.
I could have said that, and I should have said that, because that's something that I should. You know, I'm tired of you taking my lines. You and your imagination with the give women a bag of gold and they'll complain, and they'll still complain how heavy it is. That's something I would have said, and now this, I should have said that to her, and you thought of it. I'm tired of you, Santos, taking my lines away. I should have said that, but the thing is, we went on to something else. And I didn't really even want to get too much into it because I didn't want to curse her out. She's been going to the show for years, so have I, and I didn't want to get into it. But that's something I could have said because it doesn't seem to be all that provocative. But the thing is, it's an example of how women will complain about men's toxic masculinity. But, of course, when it comes to defending them physically, they want to call upon that toxic masculinity. But to be more pointed to your question, women have seemed to define what manhood is, what a child should grow up to be, what kind of man, gentleman he should be. We all know how women will tell their men, the boys, pull the door open for the girls. Girls come first, pull the chair out, you know, have enough money for the date. But they never, ever instruct a woman on what she should do in order to be an appreciative woman or to be a responsive woman. The only thing they tell their daughters is either do not get pregnant and be careful of men. And that's it. Not how to participate in an interaction with a man that you may fall in love with or what to do in order to be a woman that a man can fall in love with. So, to answer your question more pointedly.
Joe, and add to something you said, they actually tell girls, don't fall in love with that first guy just because you like him. Don't fall for him. Go try your options with other men. So it's not even about how to participate and engage him. They actually discourage girls from doing that and say, just move on to the next guy and the next guy so you can see what's out there. Mm-hmm.
So, again, that's the thrust of your show for the past few. Oh, by the way, when your show wasn't on about a month ago, there were two people that I had that had come to the show that I had told about your show. So I'm spreading the word around so that people will come here and participate because they have the same mindset you are, Kendricks is, I am, and everybody else that comes to the show. So, but Kendricks, can you feel my frustration? Every time I should have come up with a saying, a real good jingle or a good bumper sticker, this guy steals it from me. Do you understand my frustration, Ken?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah, that's a good one, that, Joe.
Yeah. Oh. So, Ted, I'm right in agreement with you. I like that example about the elephant too.
Yeah, it's like we try to skip over certain things and say, well, that doesn't apply, until it's something that's in a woman's best interest. Then all of a sudden it applies. So, in the context I'm talking about in manhood and not having a father in the home. And there are a few guys who are saying, well, there are guys even with a father in a home, except the father is a simp. But let's just stay with no father in a home, and there's no example for the boy to learn from. Now, if we flip that and say, well, the reason mothers are not so good anymore is because there aren't mothers in a home, and there are only single fathers, then all of a sudden the elephant example would be a perfect example.
Well, you know what the problem is with the elephant, that particular elephant, what I heard, is that that elephant was eating way, way too many Skittles, and she had a sugar attack, and that gave her postpartum depression. Good. I finally came up with something that Ted didn't. Okay, good.
Yeah. What is this thing about Skittles? I don't understand. What's the deal with
Skittles, you know, that particular candy that's so full of sugar? I think it's made by the same company that makes M&M's.
Okay, I can see that.
So I'm saying that she got a sugar attack, and the sugar attack created the postpartum depression. And that's why she was trying to crush her baby.
Well, there must be more and more women eating Skittles and having postpartum depression.
Absolutely, yeah, right?
There's a woman who recently shot her 12-year-old son.
I know of a woman who gave up a 13-year-old daughter for adoption. And the reason why she gave it up, the family scuttlebutt is that she wanted to tie my father down after my father and mother got divorced. So she got pregnant with his daughter, her daughter, had her for 13 years, couldn't tie him down, and gave her up for adoption. So women are not sugar and spice and all things nice. Women are just fucking people. And if you can point the finger at men, you can point the finger at women.
Absolutely. But I think the problem in today's topic is not so much that what women have pointed the finger at men, but what they've really done is told men what it means to be a man. I mean, just think about if humans started telling dogs and parrots and eagles and cats and lions how to be their respective breed based on a human perspective, it would just be ridiculous.
You got to let mammals be mammals, right?
And human beings are animals. They are mammals. They are human beings that are mammals, and mammals are part of the animal kingdom. For anyone who didn't learn this in school, human beings are animals. They are. And they're mammals. And so are whales and lions and dogs. So, and there is a biology that's very different between men and women. And I want to share another screen. And this guy, he talks about a reward system includes vasopressin and oxytocin. So this guy's got an interesting perspective. And I'm going to relate this to the workplace. Let's see what he's got to say.
One of the areas that we know is really important in terms of the social bonding in prairie voles is the nucleus accumbens and its output, the ventral pallidum. So these are two areas that are part of the brain's reward circuitry. They're critically involved in things like addiction. So it's not surprising that they may also be involved in the social bond formation. Maybe a social bond is very similar to an addiction. So in the prairie voles, oxytocin acts in the nucleus accumbens, where there are lots of receptors, to promote that pair bonding. It actually acts to activate the reward circuitry so that the social interaction itself becomes very pleasant. And the individual associates that pleasant, rewarding aspect of the social interaction with the particular individual that they're interacting with, so that in the future, they want to be with that individual. So it's sort of a self-perpetuating process that draws the animals into a stronger and stronger bond. If the oxytocin is acting in females to promote that bond in the nucleus accumbens, in males, vasopressin is acting in the ventral pallidum, which is just below the nucleus accumbens, part of the same circuitry. So in both cases, the males and the females, you have these two molecules acting in the same circuitry to promote this behavior, which has remarkable parallels to addiction.
That's not the one I was looking for.
What are you doing, Ted?
Say that again.
So what are you doing? There was dead air for about 12 seconds.
Yeah, it was a very specific video I was looking for.
Okay. I just want to make sure I didn't get disconnected, or if you didn't get disconnected.
Not at all.
People have asked, could you measure oxytocin and vasopressin? I'm engaged. I'd love to know whether my mate has got a particular vasopressin.
So I watched this video, and they were talking about how oxytocin works in women, and how when a woman is pregnant, she secretes significantly more oxytocin, and it really drives her bond with the baby before it's born. And they were saying that they wanted to see how that affected men. And so they went to, and this is modern day, they went to this hunting and gathering tribe. I forget which country it was in, what most people would call primitive people. And they saw that when the men went out to hunt, that, of course, testosterone levels went up, like they skyrocketed, and especially just as they were about to attack, go after their kill. And then after they actually killed their, the animal, and they were going back to their village,
right,
they said that oxytocin levels then rose in the men, and they were talking about how the men were bonding and how the men were one of the things they got is that the men were, it was like what they found is the men were bonding and they felt good about what they had just done, and they were bringing back food to their families. And they said it's something that men share, and this goes beyond just, hunting and gathering, right? So a man working in corporate America and going home with his check. And they were saying how men feel good about taking care of their families. Like we're biologically, there's a reward system for being good men and taking care of the fathers. And so as the men were going back to the village, there was oxytocin. And I did live with that kind of, I lived with people.
Yeah, I know. You said you used to live, if not in Brazil, it was a country that you had gone to that you spent about 2 or 3 years there, I think.
Yep, it was Belize. I lived in Belize with Mayan Indians in the jungle, no electricity or running water. And so it was interesting. So just going back to the video, so when men accomplish something and they know they've done a good job to feed and secure the safety and health and well-being of their family, even with other men, there's a bonding and they feel good. They were saying like a sense of pride that men have. And so when I was living with the Mayans, I had been lifting weights before I traveled to Belize. So, when I didn't have weights, I would just do push-ups, sit-ups, pull-ups, handstands, and I had these backpacks.
Right.
I had a backpack that probably weighed about 70 pounds, honestly. And I could, with two hands, I could do curls with it. So after we would work in a field, I would go back to the hut, I'd work out. I'd do my push-ups, sit-ups, all that stuff, and do curls.
Right.
And pretty good workout. Well, it was interesting because the family I stayed with, they only had one son that could work with the father. He was 18, and then he had a son-in-law who was 19 who worked, and it was me. And then he would ask another man in the village to help him. That was sort of the symbiotic relationship. So men would go out in the field, and they'd ask another man and his family or son to help them, and, it was what, quid pro quo,
very
cooperative.
Right? Yeah.
Right, they did it for one another. And so when we'd work in a field, there was that sense of bonding like the video was talking about, but also he would invite men over to his house and say, you got to watch this guy talking about me. We just worked in a field all day and watched this guy work out. Like, watch what he's going to do. Watch this, watch that. And it was like a bonding time for men.
Yeah.
Right? So I'm saying that if we relate this to corporate America, when corporate America was majority men, you would have that kind of environment, right? So imagine these guys who the hunters and gatherers, wherever they did this study, and they're going back with their game, you know, and they're telling dirty jokes, and they're teasing and joking around with one another. But that's all part of male bonding, right? So we've accomplished what we set out to do, and now we can bond. So, you know, as they were going out hunting, there were testosterone levels were rising, right? And as they're going after the prey, testosterone blocks oxytocin. So testosterone is allowing them to accomplish aggressively what they want to get done. And when it's done and they're returning home to their families, the men get to bond. And, you know, if this would be in corporate America in 1950, the guys get to tell dirty jokes and they get their bonus checks, and they may be a little competitive with their bonus checks. But that was part of corporate America, sort of a reenactment of the hunter-gatherer, you know, going out hunting and bringing
home. It was the modern-day version of the bonding ritual. Yeah.
Right. Exactly. And so one of the things that we've done is kind of we've stripped men of that. So we put so many women in a workplace so that, you know, it would be interesting to see if the hunting gathering sent one woman out with a bunch of men hunting, how that would change the dynamic. So, you know, women had their place in corporate America. They were executive assistants. They may have played other roles. And you may have had a couple of outlier women who may have become a reporter, a journalist, or some other thing, a lawyer. But those women earned their right to be there. They worked their asses off, and they could compete with men. So it wasn't an entitlement. So all of these things, these are like, we could say ritualistically men did this, right? And some could argue it's a social construct. But the reason I'm bringing up the biochemistry in this is because this is part of male satisfaction, and this is part of how men biochemically operate. You know, part of their existence and their pride and their happiness and fulfillment is being able to care for and see, well, first successfully accomplish something, right? And that's going to require testosterone. And then the bonding that takes place. So now men are not even allowed to bond because some of the things that we say as men will be considered sexual harassment, and either the company gets sued, the man loses his job, or both. So women are defining how men should be men, even in the workplace. So not just socially in the dating world, even in the workplace where our biochemistry gives us an advantage in how we work together, how we get things done, and how we even interact. And that's going to affect our biochemistry is going to affect men and how they even see themselves. And we've been stripping that away in more than one way, just even taking men out of the workforce and replacing it with women. You know, you guys have heard me talk about women don't perform at the same level as men. And if they don't have the same testosterone, they're not going to have the same aggressiveness. So we now call that aggressiveness that men, that you would find on the hunt, that's naturally in a man that he uses to accomplish things, is now called toxic. So we're telling men, you can't be that way. It's wrong, and it's part of our biochemistry. So it's not just it's not just limited. What I'm getting at, it's not just limited to saying, oh, men, you can't do this. You can't burp and fart and scratch your balls because that's offensive. But there's a biochemistry. There are biochemicals we secrete that support our ability to accomplish. And then there's this, you know, after effect of bonding that men have that add to the fulfillment of the accomplishment. And we're taking that away from men and saying you can't have that anymore, except it's part of who we are. You get what I'm getting at, Joe?
Yeah, what you're saying is that we have a biological predilection towards bonding via competition, via being not only in competition, but by being in cooperation with each other in order to achieve a singular goal that all of us can do together. And as a result of the women saying that we're toxic, that masculinity is toxic, they're taking away not only the social construct outside of work, but within the work environment, they're also taking away the opportunity for the chemical testosterone to be in play, oxytocin to be in play, for our behaviors. They want our behavior to be modified, and they're doing it by trying to shame us. And by doing that, they're taking away our biological right destiny as men.
Yep. Well said. And so what's the impact of that, right? So, you know, does that come out in other ways as criminals or depression and alcohol, suicide? You know, is that why we're getting higher suicide amongst men? I mean, you know, what are all the things? So by telling men you can't be a man anymore.
Unless you do it in the service of women.
Well, there's a way that men have done it in the service of women. That's why I brought up this hunter-gatherer tribe, because they were serving their women on their terms. But women are saying, you can service us, but it's on a woman's terms.
Our terms.
And, yeah. Right, and how we define you be a man and serve us.
Right. On Mondays, you can be my man. On Tuesdays, you can be my my friend. But on Mondays, when I want you to be the, you do the heavy lifting, you take the wounds, all right? You take the stabs in the back, you take the bullets in the front, you take the insults, you lead the way as long as I let you lead the way, and as long as you're the one who's going to be the one who's going to be hurt by being the leader. And I will stay behind so that you can protect me and provide for me. And if you don't like it, well, you're a bully, and you're a tyrant, and you're part of the patriarch. My life as a woman is so hard.
Right, you're a controlling dictator. I mean, so we're in some ways and this may sound like dramatic, but it's like men are going through some level of atrophy in manhood.
You know, I can see that. I mean, if we're not exercising our biological muscles, then where are we going? If every time we try to be, we can be competitive in sports, but if we're going to be in an environment where there are women, and women are going to be offended about our so-called toxic masculinity, our aggressiveness, or our assertiveness, or our belief that we should take the lead as opposed to little princesses taking the lead because they're entitled to it as opposed to us earning it, and they're earning it as well, then where are we going to end up? We will be accommodating females who do not want to exert the energy, who do not want to take the lead when it comes to the leader having a risk of being hurt. You, man, can take the lead and you can risk, well, because I say you can. I, as a uterus carrier, say you can. Your job on this planet is to make me happy if I pick you to be the one to make me happy.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But
so
see, that's what my problem is, though, Joe, where they get that misconception at, because that's where they done lost me at right there.
And that's where they should lose a lot of men, because a lot of men have been conditioned, not to say that it was wrong to be gentlemen, But when a gentleman has been given the wrong type of radio station saying to us that the woman, sugar and spice and all things nice, and until proven, absolutely proven, that they are liars or deceitful, then you have to give them the benefit of the doubt. So, no, that's not your problem, Kendricks. That's not a problem. For you to say, hey, Chicky, you got to show me what you've got. I have a pair of balls. I've got the power, the strength, and the intelligence, the emotional wherewithal, and the ability to handle stress a lot better than you do. So what have you got to show me? And if you don't like it, hasta la vista.
Yeah, so, other than a bunch of headache and stress, and a whole lot of stress, Mr. Joe.
Exactly. And it is better to – go ahead, Ted, sorry.
No. Go ahead, please. Keep going.
And it's better to have the stress of being alone than the stress of being with somebody you can't get rid of. Think about the middle-class marriages, okay? You can't get rid of the girl. It's cheaper to keep her. Now, think about the upper-class marriage, not just the rich that you've been talking about, Ted, in which the women have been picked because they're going to be an asset to the family.
Right.
Think about the middle-class, upper-class marriages, where the guy has also fallen in love with the Disney romantic version of what a woman and wife is going to be, but then finds out that, you know, she's kind of he's not really all that wifey. So the stress of being alone and looking for somebody is far less stressful than having the stress of being in the same house with somebody who eventually you may not even like over time, but you have to stay with her. Because, we've been trained, you know, that's your duty, my man. That's your duty. You married her. You made an honest woman out of her. Just because she's undergoing some ups and downs, you should be there for her. Now, whether she should be there for you, well, that's her choice. But for you, that's your responsibility.
So I'm going to do another screen share. This is an article this time. This article talks about, it's in on a website called Focus on the Family, the Universal Qualities of a Man. It was written by Glenn Stanton. Huh. It's Stanton. Huh. Wonder if he's related to Elizabeth Stanton back in the 1860s. Written in July of 2019, it says, manhood is not so much about anatomy and age as it is a particular set of character qualities. When someone is described as not a man, we unmistakably know two things about this person. He is a male. The statement is not questioning that. He is woefully short on some basic character qualities of masculinity. Manhood is not so much about anatomy and age as it is about a particular type of character. If we did not have all the general idea that manhood is a definite and distinct thing, the statement, he's not a man, would have little meaning. But it has immediate meaning, and we take it as a strong rebuke upon the person, which I just interesting. So I just wonder about this whole idea of saying someone's not a man. If that's something that was really authored by men, or did women come up with that as a way to control the behavior of men? So you could automatically classify a guy as not being a man because he doesn't meet the standards that a woman believes man, that their image of it, right? There's an image. There's being a man, and then there's the image of a man, which women have an image. If they grew up with their father in the house, they don't know what it means to be a man, but they have an idea. They have ideas or ideals about
what a man should be like. Yeah,
right. Mm-hmm. It's an image. Go ahead.
I think that particular concept is carried by both men and women. I'm sure you've been in conversations with men, Kendricks and Ted, where they will proselytize about, well, I'm a real man, or this is what a real man should do. And that almost always coincides with the definition of what a female wants a man to do. A right. real man protects and provides. A real man honors his woman, you know, and yes, I should be there to be by his side, but the responsibility always on a man, you know. So I think it's perpetuated by both men who want to, and I've always felt that when a man starts talking about what a real man should be like, it's because he's trying to send out his verbal pheromones to try to get women to become attracted to him. And I think the women, yeah, that's the way I feel. And I think the women, they do it because they love being a victim. They just love it nowadays. Oh, if their face isn't their power, or their vagina, then it's being a victim. Oh, they love the attention being a victim gets, even if they don't deserve to be a victim. You know, there are some situations in which a woman or a man are legitimately victims. But for God's sake, don't always, you know, don't, just because you get caught in rush hour and you don't like having to, being home late by half an hour, doesn't make you a victim. It makes you somebody who's home late by an hour.
So this article lays out some qualities of manhood, and they are courage. A man does not shrink from necessary challenge, regardless of risk. He will face danger, difficulty, and self-denial when called upon for the sake of others. Step up is another quality. A man is the first one out of his seat, figuratively and literally. When a need arises, he's a problem solver and takes initiative passively. Passivity is never manly. Another one is provide and protect. Wow, this is one of the longest definitions. A man has learned how and is willing to provide and care for a particular woman and their common children. He doesn't skip out on his duty. Even if he never marries, he's the kind of person who could do this and, in fact, provides for others in various ways. As anthropologist David Gilmore concludes, a man produces more than he consumes, and the community benefits from the work, his work and generosity. Another is self-reliance. A man can stand on his own and not need to depend on others for his well-being. The Boy Scout motto is be prepared, because the man doesn't want to have to depend on the preparedness of another. He is not a loner, though. He is willing to work with others. Interesting. You guys may have heard me. You heard me talk about this, Joe, a prison experiment they did back in the 70s. And they were measuring biochemistry, oxytocin, testosterone, vasopressin, endorphin. They were measuring this to see how men interacted and what biochemicals supported or worked against it. And of course, testosterone is there. And, you know, these are not people who are prisoners. To my knowledge, it was college students, and they took a percentage of the college students and made them prison guards, and then the other percentage were the inmates.
Yeah, that was the Stanford experiment, right?
Right. And it didn't go the distance, because it started getting out of control. The prison guards started taking advantage of their authority. But here's the deal. They did the same, and no one talks about it, which is mind-boggling. They did the same experiment with women. It fell apart immediately.
Because, I never heard about that experiment.
Yep. I was reading a paper on it, and it talked about both. They say that oxytocin, while it can help you bond, oxytocin is not good at dealing with pressure. And under those conditions of that kind of pressure, the women couldn't collaborate at all. They refused to work together. Now, men have something called vasopressin. And vasopressin is something that goes towards disagreement, towards danger, towards conflict, and oxytocin will avoid conflict. So once they put the women in a prison system, it was automatic conflict, and the women couldn't bond, they couldn't collaborate, and they had to stop it like almost immediately. I don't even think it went for a full day, at least for the men.
Wow.
I think. Yeah, it just fell apart. And that's
wow.
why you don't see these large female-only companies competing in the marketplace. That is why. So in this talking about self-reliance and stand on his own feet and he's not a loner, he's willing to work with others. This is why corporations can work so well with majority men, and you can have conflict, and men will engage in conflict with one another and still be able to work together. Actually, men could even physically fight and still be able to work together. So if with women, it becomes verbal altercation. And I did a video maybe 18 months ago about a female-only company and how it went bankrupt because the women, there were so many factors. They all wanted high salaries. But the women had verbal fights, and the whole office became unproductive. Like, no one could work after the fight, and the women who lost would go to the bathroom and cry, and it was hard
yeah.
to work. So
was that the one where they also had a man come in, and when the man came in, all the women were, not all, but a lot of the women were vying for his attention?
Exactly. Same company.
Okay.
Exactly. So once they put a man in, it changed the dynamics, and it became more orderly once the man came in, which is, you know, right, the irony, right? We don't want men here, and yet it took a man to help bring order because they were trying to put their best foot forward and get his and win his attention. So yeah, I mean, and someone I saw Imperator, a guy said, men need to enforce the roles and make women stay in their position. And that's a really good comment. And men have become afraid to do that. They're afraid to do it with their daughters, with their wives. And the first person every man needs to do that with is your mother. So what are some of the other things they say men have is honesty and moral strength. A man does what is right and calls out others who do not. And we stop doing that with women. We stop calling women out when doing things that are not right. It goes on to say he deals with others in integrity. Temptation presents itself to every man, but the decisions and actions he takes in light of it significantly determines his manhood. He can be trusted to do what is right when no one is watching. He keeps his word and is dependable to others. And, you know, actually, Joe, in my book, I spend a fair amount of time talking about integrity and honoring your word as yourself. The way I present it, Joe, is so controversial. I've had people literally get angry with me, when they read the book.
I didn't read the book, but I did go to Amazon to look it up. It was How to Find Love, I believe the title is.
No, Here's Why You Can't Find Love.
Oh, Here's Why You Can't Find Love. Okay.
Like here, right here in this book, I'll tell you why you can't find love. Here, right here.
I also saw part of the interview you had done with Meet the Authors, with the guy, I forgot his name, but you were talking about, the show was called Meet the Authors. I haven't listened to the whole interview, but I did see part of it.
Yeah, that was actually my first interview. That interview happened the day the book launched, the day of my book launch.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Yep. Article goes on to say tenacity. A man does not easily give up or shrink away in the face of challenge or adversity. He sticks with it and wants to overcome obstacles. It can be done. It can be done. Doesn't come to him easily. It can't be done, sorry, it doesn't come to him easily. So, you know, it's interesting, and it seems like women are exploiting that, right? So, you know, I was talking about the hunter-gatherer tribe, and so we were talking, Joe and Kendrick, about how if we suppress that in men, you know, what happens with it? What are we doing to men when when we don't allow them to have that testosterone secretion and then have the bonding with other men after accomplishing, you know, that testosterone-driven task. And it seems like women believe that, well, we should give that effort to them by chasing and hunting after them. So women feel better about themselves, and that's the way they want us to use our naturally born biochemical makeup, is to chase and hunt after them.
What women really want is control. They want the toxic man when it benefits them, when the man will protect and provide for her. But then if she gets into an argument with somebody that she doesn't like, has no interest in, is not interested in his dick or his status, then he's a bully. He's a patriarch. He's a member of the patriarchal hierarchy that's there to suppress and oppress women. So they're the ones who men allow to call the shots, because we take our conditioning to be gentlemen very, very seriously. And I don't have a problem with that unless men are getting the shaft, and we are. So men do have to wake up. We are waking up. But see, men are afraid of being lonely. Men are feeling that if I don't approach her, she's not going to approach me. Well, I got news for you. If you're the type of man that has that self-love, and you have, and you're within an environment where there's a bunch of men, bunch of women, even if they don't like you at the beginning, even if they're not attracted to you, if you're a man, and I'm not going by the definition of what you've been reading, I'm saying if you are just a man who does not allow other women or men to dictate to you who or what you should be, you are going to find women who will be attracted to you, even if they weren't attracted to you initially. And I can say that from experience. So men, do not be that afraid of being alone. Okay? If you go out, I'm going to make myself clear too. Don't be a basher of women just to bash women. Bash a female because she is not giving you the respect that you deserve and the appreciation you deserve. If she's being a pain in the ass, bash her. But
yes.
Give women a chance. Go ahead, Kendricks.
No, I'm agreeing with you.
Yeah. Give women the chance to show their true colors. If their true colors are that of, you're a toxic man, you don't need to do anything with her. But if she's a sweet woman who at least initially shows the qualities that you're looking for, then give her the opportunity to show more of those qualities. So, but a man to me is always a man, even if he's a weak man.
Yep.
He's still a man, in my definition.
And that's what they missing, Mr. Joe. That's the whole point. Regardless if you're a weak dude or the so-called cornball or lame or a nerd or a geek or whatever they try to classify that man, you still a dude at the end of the day.
You are still a man, and you take precedence over any woman, unless she has more integrity, more guts than you, then you take precedence, as far as I'm concerned. Because you're right. If you can be a geek, you can be a lame, you can be a nerd, a dork, whatever. You may not exactly have the social skill to attract the kind of women that, you know, a lot of men would like. But that doesn't mean you should be rolled over by women.
Yeah, don't let nobody run over you. Right.
That's right.
Or dismissed as a man when you really are a man.
Right.
That, I said earlier, you know, to my knowledge, manhood starts at 18. You get the law, in the eyes of the law, you are an adult male. That makes you a man at 18 years old. And no woman has the right to say you're not a man because you don't do X, Y, Z. If I choose I don't want to pay for a date for you, you're going to now tell me I'm not a man, because I'm no longer convenient for you. And this is a great place for men to stand for all men and say, you turn 18, you are a man. And I can tell you, when I turned 18, my grandfather was the first person that it seemed to me that he is immediately when I turned 18, he addressed me as a man. I was no longer his boy grandson. I was a man. I was his man grandson, and it was very interesting to see that.
Precisely, just because you are, women have the right to choose their own type of men. Now, those
correct.
Type of men are going to be counterproductive to them. That's their problem. But if they don't choose the lame, the geek, the nerd, and everything that Kansas was talking about, I don't have a problem with that. Okay? But do not disrespect any man simply because you are not interested in him or because you can. That is wrong. That's immoral. And, you know, I think men should just shun women who are like that in general. As a matter of fact, I do that. I know of a friend of mine. When I used to go dancing before the pandemic came in, there was a friend of mine that I would meet up with when my social network would have dances. He's not an especially attractive guy. He's a decent dancer. He gets his own share of women. But if a woman was interested in me, but dismissing him, I knew what kind of chick she was automatically, you know? Because if he's part of the social network that you're introducing yourself into, then you can at least talk to him and say hi to him or engage, you know, engage with him in some kind of a conversation. But if you're not going to do that, well, you're being rude. Now, if you prefer me over him or if some other woman prefers him over me, that's fine. But don't be rude. Don't be dismissive because the man is still a man.
Exactly.
I've always had that that particular mindset.
That's a place for men, all men, to stand. You don't dismiss a guy because you're not attracted to him. He's still a man. He's just not the man you want, but he is a man hands down, and you have no right to infringe on that at all.
Precisely. You have a right not to choose him, but if you're not going to choose him, you don't do it rudely. You just don't choose him. But,
exactly.
But you don't dismiss him as though he's a piece of Kleenex.
Or demean. Okay.
And then,
right.
And then too, German. Then I'd be hearing that these women put some of these dudes in a position where they try to shame them into thinking they're trying to compensate for something. And man, that's some of the most poor, disrespectful stuff I could ever seen and hear in my life.
Yeah, especially when you're a teenager, you know, and women love to play games when they're teenagers. And they, you know, you're stripping the chick practically down to the bone. And she's saying, what are you doing? What are you doing? No, stop. And then you say, okay, I'll stop. And then she'll say, well, that was, you know, what are you? Are you crazy? What was that? You know, that was quick. Or are you gay? Or any of those things that are, you know, meant to demean you simply because you are now paying the chick respect. You said, okay, stop, I'm stopping. And now, you know, now you learn that the mixed signals that women send out, especially when you're a teenager learning this, you better retain those lessons as we get older.
Man, yeah. In particular, Mr. John, this area we living in now. Just a thought that one of these women get pissed off at you. You ain't even ever did nothing to her, but just out of spite, she'll make up some allegations and get you locked up before the ink dry on the paper.
Yeah, that's been happening. And you don't even have to be rich. You can be just middle-class. And then just for drama's sake, they can do that.
So just to quickly some of the run off some of the other things they say that finds a man is self-controlled, under authority, shows respect, loyalty, humility, compassion. He lives his character. So, you know, this guy seems to have an idea about his perspective on manhood. I want to take another caller. I'm going to bring in caller.
I hope it's a chick.
You got a 111. Your number is unknown. So I'm bringing in a caller. What's your name and where you call from? perhaps you just want to listen. And that's cool. I'll let you do that. Unless you're on mute, at the table. I'll let you listen. Thanks for joining, though. All right. So, part of the problem is that men have allowed themselves to be persuaded, and as you were saying, Joe, with the hopes of being in a woman's favor. And you said, don't be afraid to be alone. As long as men are willing to get down on all fours and let a woman come behind with a strap on and just do whatever she thinks he says, do whatever she says is right, he's now making it bad for all men.
Yeah, but I still don't, even with the simps, I don't blame them for being simps. We have to really focus on what the propaganda and the matrix is with regards to men, how conditioned we have been to be gentlemen, and how conditioned we have been to believe that a woman is truly somebody who is sugar and spice and all things nice. We have to actually recognize the power of that kind of propaganda. But when men actually realize that it is propaganda and that it is not in our best interest to always bend for, to accommodate the female simply because she's a female, then we will be on our way. Then society will benefit from that, because once we men start saying, and en masse, I got nothing against you being an assertive, strong, intelligent woman, but don't try to play me. Don't try to be deceptive. Don't try to manipulate me. Stay in your lane.
So, Joe, I would say most men in the U.S. are feminists, for one. Two, there are guys who may display a lack of integrity. They may be... I really don't like the word toxic, but they just may be toxic people in general. And they will lie to a woman, and they will let the woman think whatever she wants. He might be a player, right? He may not be a simp, but he might just be a player, right?
Right.
I'm saying that there are too many men who, in the name of getting sex, will allow a woman to just have her way. Just sort of run like a dog off a leash and never corrects her, because he's only worried about him getting his. As long as I get mine, I don't care
what
the consequences are. So I'm not really talking about simps. And even those guys I'm talking about now will get on all fours and take it with strap on and don't realize that there are consequences because of their behavior.
I don't like them either. I don't like men who lie to women just to get pussy and then drop them. That's scumbag behavior. A man should be authentic, so should a woman. And I don't like gigolos. You should not lie to get sex. If sex is that powerful for you, what does that say about you and your other interests in you as a man? If you have to have that orgasm, why? Men should seek intimacy, not just sex. And if you have to be a gigolo or you have to be a simp, either one, you should not lie in order to get it. That's against my code as a man.
And add on to what Mr. Joe said, Ted, such men should only strictly allowed to be messing with prostitutes and hookers. Not to be messing with other decent women of society. You need to be messing with the women of the night. Those are the ones you need to be messing with.
Those women.
I don't quite understand you, Kendrick. I'm not sure I understand what you're saying.
Oh, you couldn't hear me.
No, I could hear you, but you said the women we should be messing with should be women of the night.
No. I'm talking about the players and the men that's lying to these women just to get it. Them men, them the type of women that them dudes should be strictly allowed to mess with.
Oh, those are the only type of women, only type of men that those women should be allowed to mess with is what you're saying.
Yeah, that's exactly what
I'm saying. Am I getting it right? Oh, okay. Well, yeah, sometimes women do get deceived by pretty good liars. You know, men, in accordance with the definition that Ted was reading, men are pretty honorable. Men should be honorable. But if a man is not honorable, then he's a scumbag. Okay? He should be an honorable man. And for him to lie in order to get pussy, that's not an honorable man. He is demeaning himself and he's demeaning the rest of us by doing that bullshit.
Well, so there's two parts to that, right? So the guy who walks up to a woman and says, "Hi, you know, hey, my name is Ted. I'd like to get to know you. I think you're attractive, and I'm interested in knowing who you are and see where we can take things if we're compatible." That usually doesn't work for a lot of women. You guys understand that, right?
Well, yeah, I've been to enough clubs to know that just because a guy, you know, comes up and wants to be nice, you know, the girl might be nice and allow, quote unquote, allow him to talk to her for a while, but that doesn't necessarily make a good impression on the girl because that's what she's been hearing ever since she's been about 13 or 16.
Well, no, but I'm not saying I want to marry you. I'm not saying we should be in a relationship. I'm just saying I like to know you. And so I'm not using any player lines, you know, no pickup lines, nothing, right? I'm just, hey, I'm honestly interested in you and I'd like to get to know you. Let's exchange numbers, right? So, and the woman could easily say, "Well, I wasn't getting any chemistry. I didn't get any vibes, you know. But if I come up and I start using player lines, the same woman now laughing, joking, she's having a good time. You understand what I'm getting at?"
Not quite.
So technically, as much as the player thinks that he's running things, he's being led by the woman. And what a woman believes a man should do, introduce himself to a woman. So me just being myself and saying, "Hey, I'd like to get to know you," I may get sidestepped. She's not interested. She says I have a boyfriend or she gives me a wrong number, right? She does something.
Right.
Not to show her lack of interest. And this was something I learned. There was a female friend that I know. I guess she's bisexual. And she's a couple of years older. And she said when I was in my 20s, I would be a little frustrated because I said when I'm honest with a woman, they're dismissive. If I lie to them, they embrace it. So what I'm saying is, it's not always as cut and dry as saying, "Well, these guys are out here lying and they're scumbags," because what they've learned was successful. So if I'm leading a woman when I first meet her and I'm being myself and I want to get to know her, she doesn't let that happen. Women like leading from the bottom, which means you think you're on top and you're in charge, but the woman is on the bottom. She's really letting you think you're leading, and she's leading you. So as the guy is being a player, he's technically being led by the woman. Even the guy who's sleeping with just only married women, he's still being led by married women. But that married woman knew way before she met him that she was available for some extramarital affair. And she's just looking for a guy that she can lead. And no matter how macho or a pimp or player that guy thinks he is, that woman is looking for sex or relationship, whatever she's looking for. Because I did meet a married woman who literally wanted a relationship with me, and she was trying to lead me, and later she called me and said she found the guy who's given her what she wants, a relationship, and they go to the gym and they do all these things together. But I wasn't following her. I'm saying that women literally encourage guys to lie. Women help create an environment and lead men into being players and liars. And the men find out that that's successful. So it's, you know, in some ways, women have found so many different ways to find manhood, and they've done it covertly, and men actually think that, you know, I'm the man, and I'm getting the girls, but you're only getting the girls on the girls' terms. You're not being yourself. You're only being who the woman wants you to be. And under those conditions of you being who you want her to be, those are the conditions that you get the reward.
Well, then I say that the man should change his attitude, because if a man is lying, you know, I disagree with you, Ted. Yes, the woman prefers a certain type of man, and the man may bend to that particular type of desire so that he can get her, but he's still demeaning himself by lying. He may be more successful by adopting that particular type of player mentality, but he's still doing it by lying. Now, you can have game without having to lie. And if a person wants to present himself in a way that is not truly him, he is lying to himself, he's lying to the women. And I don't agree with that type of mindset.
No, I'm not saying it to agree. I'm actually sticking with the topic. Like, in those cases, women are technically defining manhood. Now, let's contrast that with a man who really has power. He might be financially successful, but he may not be financially successful. But the man knows how to exude power.
Right.
That man doesn't have to have game. He has power, and he's going to be himself, and a woman is going to be much more responsive to his power than to him pretending to have game. Follow me on that one?
Yeah, well, I agree with you.
So the guy who has game and is successful with women, technically he's on all fours being led by the woman. The man who has power never gives up his power. And the woman is going to deal with him on his terms.
Well, okay, that's your opinion about that. Again, you're saying that she's leading him. No, I disagree with that, because he is bending over to what she wants. He shouldn't have to do that. He's saying he's making the choice to do it. So I'm saying he shouldn't. And it's not her leading him. Yes, it's her preference. Yes, she's laying back and she's not taking the risk. The men have to approach and face rejection, and women can't stand rejection. You know, men have more of an emotional wherewithal than women do. But for him to bend over by presenting a false him, then
exactly.
Right
there. He's got to present a false him to get her.
And yeah, so, but you're making her in control of that. I'm saying
go ahead. He's what? I want to hear this.
He has the choice. He shouldn't have to bend to her will, to her desires.
Except he is.
He
though.
Can, you know. Well, if he is, then he's doing the wrong thing. Yes, he may be more successful.
But he's actually,
but for him to
giving
do it,
up
yeah.
himself. He's actually giving up himself. Yeah. And if you're giving up yourself for another person, then you're being led by that person.
No, I disagree. You are making. No, you're not being led by that person. That person, if that person is deceiving you, yeah. But if that person is just laying back and allowing you to be whoever you want to be, and you choose to be the person that you think she wants by being inauthentic, then the responsibility and the burden is on the man, not on her.
The responsibility falls on the man, except the woman creates the rules of engagement, which puts her in control.
She is in control up to a point, yes. It's for the man who is bending for her. And yes, there's a book. I recommended this book a while back. If men have all the power, how come women make all the rules? Yes, she more or less is in control if the man accedes to that. Just like when we nowadays are doing the PC game, the politically correct game. Oh, I can't make the woman uncomfortable on the job. I can't say nice things about her shoes because I'll get in trouble with HR. Yes, she's in control in that situation because the law has stepped in. But where there is no law in social interaction, you know, if you're allowing her to control you, then she is in control. But
right,
you shouldn't allow her to do that.
What you're saying is perfect, right? So because of sexual harassment in HR, men can't be themselves at work. They have to pretend to be someone they're not. They're politically correct. They can't say you look nice today, nice shoes. Wow, you know, you can't say any of that, right?
Correct.
So you have to be someone you're not to accommodate the women in the workforce, correct?
To a certain degree, a higher degree in some instances, to a lower degree in others. Yep, I agree. Uh-huh.
So now you go out of the workplace, you're in a nightclub or on the street, park, wherever, and you meet a woman. It's the same thing.
Except that she can't report you to anybody because you haven't broken any particular laws. So she
and
is not in as much.
That's why it's worse, Bill.
I don't think it's worse.
It is.
I would rather not.
See, the man who has power doesn't do that. So as nerdy as you could say Bill Gates is, he wouldn't have to do that to get a woman. In fact, his Bill Gates' wife had to accept the fact. He told his wife, yes, we're getting married, except this woman from my past, my ex, gives me something you don't, and I still want access to her. And his wife accepted those terms.
Well, okay, then because of the power, yes. And yes, he is a geek. He's like a he's a mean geek. I read the book that was written about him, and he is a mean geek too, boy. He didn't treat his employees on his way up to create Microsoft well at all. Neither he nor Steve Jobs. They're both well known for being sons of bitches.
Hey, listen, this is how we already talked about the hunter-gatherer's testosterone. Just because he's a geek doesn't mean he doesn't have testosterone, right? And
true, very
true. And that's competitive, so that doesn't go away. You can see, that's why women, but you said it perfectly. A man is a man. No woman has the right to dismiss a man as being a man. So you can't say because he's a geek, a nerd, or a cornball, he's not a man. He still has testosterone just like a man does. And he's as dangerous as any man. I heard a story. I don't know if it's true. I have no way of confirming it. That someone was presenting something to when Bill Gates was CEO of Microsoft, and one of his executives was presenting something, and Bill Gates said, "What the hell are you talking about?" And Bill Gates started saying, "Who the hell hired this guy, and why is he in this room even talking to me? This guy is an idiot." Like, he just put the guy down. And so the guy was like, "No, Bill, I need you to get what I'm saying." And Bill just wasn't. He was saying, "What you're saying makes no sense." The story I heard is the guy, this was in a boardroom, the guy got up on the boardroom table and started stomping his feet and saying, "I can't believe you're the CEO. You're such an idiot. that let me tell you why this is the right thing. And the guy is yelling at Bill Gates, and at some point it clicks, and Bill Gates starts looking down at the floor and saying, yeah, you're right. I get it now. Okay, you're right. Okay, okay, I got it. I got it. And the guy is still yelling at him. So the part of the point is Bill Gates was mean and he yelled at people, but he allowed his people, his men, to be the same with him. It was that kind of environment.
Well, I don't know. I know that particular example. I haven't heard about that example until just now, but that was an outrageous comeback for this guy. How many people would have the balls to confront Bill Gates in that way, to stand up on a table and make a fool of themselves, and unless he was a man enough to have the conviction of his particular philosophy, and he was willing to risk being fired and thrown out by security and to be laughed at by whoever was there for the rest of his life, you know. So that guy was a man, and finally Bill Gates, who is very dangerous today. I don't know how politically oriented you are, Ted and Kendricks, but when it comes to this virus and this vaccine,
yeah, I've heard it. I don't want to get sidetracked by that, Joe, but I give.
Okay. Okay.
But there's a similar story with Steve Jobs. iTunes was only compatible with Macintosh computers with Apple products. And one of his direct reports said, we're going to make iTunes go on PCs. And Steve Jobs was completely against it. And there was this back and forth over the course of days. And the guy finally said to Steve Jobs, I don't care what you say. I think it's the right thing to do. And we're going to make iTunes compatible for PC, for any computer, and that's it. And Steve Jobs was like, well, that's fine if you want to do that, but you'll never get support from me. I think it's the wrong thing to do. And the guy walked out the office. And it was the right thing to do. So it's sort of analogous with Bill Gates' job. You know, Steve Jobs was somewhat demeaning and saying, this is a stupid idea. I don't know why you want to do it, blah, blah, blah. But they did it anyway. So we're having this. This is sort of a meta conversation within a bigger conversation, and saying those two examples of Steve Jobs, Bill Gates, and the men who were fearless and being able to confront them are examples of men who have made the choice to be man and express their manhood, period.
And another thing to piggyback. Oh, I'm sorry.
Let me bring it full circle. The player doesn't have the balls to do that. He's playing on the woman's territory under her rules, which means if he's playing by her rules, it's her rules. It's her playing field. She is in control, and you're now being led by a woman on her turf and her rules of engagement. And you are now at the mercy of a woman, and you're.
I see what you're saying.
You're giving up your manhood for sex.
Yeah.
You're now on all fours.
What
you're on all fours, and she's got on the strap on. And you're happy to get some, but you took it first.
All right. I'll go after Kendrick.
I was real quick, briefly, gentlemen. I was going to try to get some type of elaboration from you guys about the caliber of men that Larry Flynn and Hugh Hefner was, along the lines of the Hooters owner also. If you guys can collaborate some on those tapes in regards to the topic.
Hugh Hefner?
Yes, sir, and Larry Flynn and the Hooters owner.
Who's Larry Flynn?
In what context? Larry Flynn is the guy from Hustler. He actually was very, very important for maintaining the First Amendment. Hugh Hefner, everybody knows about, Playboy. But in what context, Kendrick?
The context I'm talking about, gentlemen, is the players or the gentlemen, the ruling class, or what That's the knowledge I need you guys to give me for them. Because I looked up to them dudes when I was a little boy coming up.
Again, but in context of, were they doing things morally? Because that was the big question about them during their heyday, was whether or not they were moral in trying to be playboys as opposed to actually trying to be family men and actually trying to open up the free sex movement, the sexual liberation movement. So I don't know what context.
So maybe I'll sort of respond to my question.
Okay.
It seems like maybe he's asking, did those men have power? So were they being led by women, or were they leading women to do what they wanted? And did they have to bend for women, or were women being responsive to their power? Is that kind of where you're coming from, Kendrick?
Exactly. And so, I'm from both of you guys' stance on this thing, because I was always wondering about those cats, because they always had some women around them.
Well, the women did respond to the power and the status, even though they were called Playboy Bunnies. See, he popularized Playboy Bunnies and made it socially acceptable. Same thing with the guy from Penthouse. I forgot his name. Macchioni, Bironi. He had a famous name. It would come to me. Prior to that, if you exposed your ankles in public, you were kind of like a whore, because women were so virtuous that they had to cover up their private parts, because otherwise men would go nuts. That was a popular thinking. So along comes Playboy, and he makes mainstream the idea that a woman could expose her body. And it took off. And women liked the idea that, you know, they could entice women. But to be responsible, you know, even though they were Hefner's bunnies, they was kind of socially acceptable because he made the platform for them to be socially acceptable. If he weren't famous, but yet had the power, and let's say it was somebody you don't know, somebody, the head of IBM, and he had a bevy of women, they would be called his concubines. They would be considered whores because he, you know, that's not what women should do during that time. But Hefner and the guy was Larry Flint. Larry Flint was the lower class. The lower class answer to Playboy. So Hefner made it popular, and the Playboy. After a while, you wanted to compete to get to be in the centerfold, because then you become famous. And socially, men and women were accepting that this type of woman was going to be, the mainstay of society after a while. So now, you can be as long as you're a famous slut like the Kardashians, you're okay. But if you're not a famous slut, you're a slut.
So Joe, you're saying he has power, so maybe. So I'm with you, Joe. A man is a man is a man, period, right?
Right.
Except there are some, and someone said most players are smart but have no ball. So perhaps the kind of men you're now describing are men with balls. And so we could say the Wright brothers had balls. I mean, what did it take, the danger, to create a machine that could exploit the laws of aerodynamics, right? That how many men died trying to prove flying was possible? You could look at Henry Ford, who declared most households will have an automobile. I mean, that was a ridiculous thought in the early 1900s. The average car cost about $1,500, and the average annual income was $750 in the early 1900s. So most people could never afford a car. That was only 2% of the population could afford a car. Most people rode a horse. But Henry Ford said, I will defy that. So that's a lot of power to go against what's common sense. Common sense says cars are for 2%, $1,500, this is how you make it. Take 9 months to make an automobile. And, you know, as people say now, it is what it is. Henry Ford proved that nothing is what it is, and he got down to from 9 months to 9 days, down to about 9 minutes to build an automobile. I don't know if he actually...
And he raised, and he raised the wages of his workers so that it, so that buying an automobile could be affordable. He also came out with another funny statement, too. He said, you know, to dovetail from what you just said, Ted, do you remember the statement when he said, yes, anybody in America can buy any color of a Ford car as long as it's black?
Yes. You know what he also did? He had black workers working side by side with white workers. So this guy just made a bunch of moves. He paid his workers much higher than anyone else in the auto industry, so they could afford to buy cars, like Joe just said, which was a brilliant move. Like, long term, that was brilliant, right? So if you're making the very car you're going to buy, how much care and quality will you put into it, right? That you, your family, will be buying this car. So, you know, it had several advantages. But what I'm really getting at is the men who had the balls do, as that article was saying, men will do what's right. So he did what was right. He wanted to make cars that most people could afford. He wanted his employees to be able to buy cars. He put men of different races. As long as they were productive and could get the job done, he wanted the best people. I mean, men with power often take social risks. Because when you make moves like that, even being a meme, like you said, Bill Gates, Steve Jobs, meme, those are social risks. You could be alienated by society, except, you know, even Walt Disney could go into that category, so you probably heard that, of not being nice guys. And so when you take those social risks, you have to have balls to do that. And it's sort of this unadulterated, uninhibited version of being a man, and now women are trying to say that's toxic. That those are the kind of men that built and shaped our society: Rockefeller, Carnegie, J.P. Morgan, Vanderbilt. And so now saying men, you shouldn't be that way anymore. And there's no real reason. The real reason is because when men are like that, what you get is a hierarchy. The men with the biggest balls will take the risk, do what's right, turn out to be the leaders, and the guys who with almost as much balls are close to that leader, and, you know, the less balls you have, the further down the ladder. Well, most women biologically don't take those kinds of risks. Just look at the prison experiment I was talking about. They won't cooperate under that kind of pressure and conflict. Because taking those kind of risks of having balls like that, you're going to deal with conflict.
Yeah.
So guys having power,
right.
and those are the women, those are the guys that women ultimately will be attracted to, and those guys don't have to give up the power to be with a woman. And the guy who is being a player gives up his power of manhood to be with a woman. Is what I'm so and it's on a woman's terms. So the woman is defining what kind of man you have to be with her, and that's where the man loses his manhood.
Yeah, as another vein that you're I'm also going to approach the fact that if the women do succeed in taking away the so-called toxic part of our masculinity, that could corrupt society, because it's the men with the balls, testosterone, the guts, the ambition, who have created society as toxic, as quote-unquote toxic as it may seem. And if women come along and say, well, we want a kinder, gentler nation, and they start taming down the women, I mean the men, and the men start accepting this,
that's
then that ruins
the whole balance of things.
That's right. You could ruin, eventually ruin civilization because men will not be willing to take risks. They won't have the ball to defy social mores. So, yeah. So, I mean, if that's where you're going, I see where you're going with it.
And Joe, and to add one thing, those men with the balls are also the men that will protect them.
Yeah. Right. That's right. So they're cutting off their nose to spite their face. They're
exactly
saying, we don't want you. We want power, but we don't want you to have power unless it's from me, but we don't want power overall. And yet afterwards, they're going to condemn us for having the power that also is being used to protect them. Right.
Mm-hmm. That's the insane part of the whole equation.
Yeah.
They despise the very thing that keeps them safe and stops El Chapo from... Look, the only thing that stops El Chapo from coming up here and pillaging this country is toxic masculinity.
And another thing, Ted, to add to what you just saying, these dimwits running around talking about defund the police. You heard them songs on police. And you such a big idiot to not to realize that there's some people putting their life on the line to protect your side behind. See?
Exactly. Exactly. So if you want to get rid of all the, it's Joe said it best. You cut off your nose to spite your face. And so there, this whole attempt to find manhood creates a national security issue. It puts the whole nation
in,
as well as
that's
innovation.
Absolutely.
Progress goes out.
Oh, yeah. Oops. I think my aunt went dead.
Oh, we're still here.
Okay.
I'm still there.
Oh, okay.
Still there.
Okay.
We heard you having a conversation with your head.
Yeah. I know, right? I wish I could call back, but it's past 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, so if
exactly.
I could call, I can't call back.
That is correct.
Because my cell phone is overheating. My battery is overheating. I'm getting a signal about that.
Oh, wow.
But
wow.
That's okay. I just unplugged the cord. So now the icon has gone away. I'm about charged. What am I charged to? Oh, boy. Come on. Never mind. I probably am about 25%. That's enough for the rest of the show. So... Sorry to stop the show.
So Joe, you see what I, so, you know, what is manhood, right? So we've been talking about manhood for the past few minutes, right? So men being themselves in an uninhibited way, and it allows protection for women. It starts new industries. I mean, the balls you have to start an industry that no one is using, right? It's ridiculous. Social media,
right.
Why would you create the telephone, the balls to create the phone when everyone's saying, oh, no one's going to ever use it. If I want to talk to someone, I just walk over to my neighbor, right? That was balls.
Yeah.
But Henry Ford said, if I would have asked people what they wanted, they would have said a faster horse. They wouldn't have said an automobile because
right.
The automobile was
yeah.
too slow. Who the hell knew they wanted an airplane so that they could fly from New York to Singapore? No one. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So this is what has driven progress and safety and convenience for society as the balls that it takes for men to take these risks. Biochemically, women don't have it. That's not a put down on women. Nature didn't give it to them. That's it.
Mm. Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, you summed it up like that. If women cannot handle the kind of stress that it takes to be a leader, especially a pioneer, when you're developing a product that there's no demand for yet, it's like a credit card. There was no demand for a credit card, no demand for a horseless carriage, and everybody said that, it wouldn't work, et cetera, but it did eventually work, the inventions that the geniuses invented through a lot of toil. Like Thomas Edison spent 5,000 failures to get the phonograph, the light bulb. It takes a lot of stress.
10,000.
Really?
10,000.
Yes. I read 5,000. Okay.
He's quoted as saying, "I didn't fail 10,000 ways. I found 10,000 ways that didn't work. I didn't fail. That's all."
I read, okay, 5,000. You want to be competitive on this, Ted? Put on your dukes. I'm toxic.
Absolutely.
You're toxic. Let's go.
This is all about manhood. So.
Yeah. Oh, shit.
Well, but in all seriousness, gentlemen, I forget who the songwriter was, but they penned the song, "It Costs to Be the Boss."
Yes, it does. And so women want the capital without understanding the responsibility that comes with capital. Then get capital, and they say, "Great, I'll get married, I'll have children, I'll make sure my children are well-fed, they're clothed, they have great shelter, they're safe, they're educated, and then at some point I may get together with some other guys who've done the same thing with their families, and we'll do something that for the community. It could be on a nonprofit where our wives do it, or it could be a company where we create many jobs." Men build families that build communities, that build jobs, that build nations. And women go shopping with their money.
Right, and they have a fallback option. Did you guys ever see the one particular episode on American Idol where there was a woman who was, getting ready to go on stage, you know how they do these flashback camera interviews with women, over with male contestants.
Right.
And the girl, she's an attention whore. So even before she's going on stage, she's outside in the crowd, where everybody's trying to be a registrant. And she's performing out there, and people are looking at her, and people are going, what a piece of ass, stuff like this. Well, anyway, she goes up on stage. Men are commenting.
The judges.
Forgot his name. The guy from American Idol started it. He's funny. He's Brit. He's a British guy. Oh, Jesus.
He's screwed. He's
and
screwed.
Anyway.
Simon
says, you're good looking. Other people saying she's good looking. Well, anyway, in any case, in part of the interview that was done of this girl before she got out on stage, she said, "Well, yeah, I'm here to win it, but if I don't win it, I'll just marry somebody rich." Oh, man.
That is still the number one way women become wealthy, is through marriage.
Yeah.
That is not
marriage. Yeah.
And
God.
No one calls it toxic.
Well, they should. They should once they realize that the women are doing it simply to get married, to have kids, and to have somebody else's asset, capital, labor, and toil. That's called a parasite. I've been saying that for a long time, if that's the major intention. But men should wake up and realize, you're number one, men. You are number one. Women do not come first. It doesn't mean they're a deep tenth. It means that they're close to you, but you're the one who does provide for the nation, for the company, for the family. And you can't do it if you have an albatross around your neck always accusing you of being that which, if you weren't, she would not get the benefits from. So you have to realize that paradox and put yourself first.
I already told you what the Mongolians did, That is why they were successful. The women took care of the men, and the men took care of everything else. The men ate first. They ate the best of everything. They had the best horses. That is, and they were very. Who was more successful than the Mongolians? And they only stopped because Genghis Khan died of he was sick, and his son had a freak accident on a horse. They were masters of horse riding, and they said, "Maybe the gods are telling us stop." So they all went home. You notice that no one went to attack them when they went home. So no one wanted to mess with them. But there is that culture of Women take care of the men. You don't put the women on a pedestal. Hell, if you were, you heard me say this. There was a surprise attack on a Mongolian village. The men fled if they were not prepared for the attack. And you left the women and children and old people because it took 18 years to make a soldier. So if we look at who is the most productive in our society, it's men. But when you start taking away the jobs and giving them to women just because they are women, you're taking away this sort of ritualistic aspect of manhood, of going on the hunt and having the testosterone-filled, you know, chase for accomplishing, and having the bonding as men because you're accomplished and you're going to take care of your family and the village. You strip men of that by choosing women over men in the workforce, and there's having a social having a very negative social impact on our society.
It does. I also want to make something clear too about the role of women and the role and the mindset of men towards women.
Hey Joe, if you hear silence, don't stop. Keep going. I'm here. I can.
Oh, okay.
Keep going.
All right. I want to wake up men to the fact that yes, if you're number one, but that doesn't mean that the woman, all she has to do is cook and clean. And that doesn't mean when Ted and Kendricks and other people have been on the show, we're talking about men as warriors. It doesn't mean that women, all they have to do in order to be women and to be successful in a relationship is just to be somebody who cooks and cleans. No, you have to have a woman who appreciates you for being the man that you are. If you become the warrior and you have this woman cooking and cleaning for you, but she doesn't appreciate you, and if all she's doing is spreading her legs without intimacy, if all she's doing is just being there to be your concubine without wanting to be there, then you have a Pyrrhic victory. You have, yes, accomplished the man, being the man. And you have this woman, maybe gorgeous. But if she's not giving you what you deserve, what you need as a man, then you're not enjoying the fruits of your labor and the fruits of your risk that you had to employ in order to get to be where you are. So just don't accept a woman simply because she's a trophy woman. Get the woman who's going to really appreciate you for being the man, the human being that you are. That's it.
Boy, you couldn't have said that no other better, Mr. Joe.
Thank you, Kendricks. Because if we don't get the women that we really deserve, then why are we doing this? We are, yes, we're bonding, and we can get intimacy, we can get bromances with the guys. But if we're going to have the kind of intimacy that really allows us to really express ourselves, become vulnerable to somebody who's supposed to be responsive to our vulnerabilities, who's supposed to support us,
especially
then she better be a goddamn
opposite
woman. Yeah, she better be a goddamn woman. I'm telling you now, not a female, a woman. Because I did not work to become who I am in order to have myself share myself with you and you don't share with me what I deserve.
I concur to that.
Okay.
It's a mess, Mr. Joe. All right. But then Mr. T go.
So listen, women, you guys heard me talk about a woman needs to, technically she worked, this, some women may not like to hear this, but your wife, your partner works for you. I mean, if a woman has no problem getting up and getting all dolled up to go work in an office where, and she's going to be working in a company that was founded by a man most of the time. There are no female-only or female-founded Fortune 500 companies, not to my knowledge. So she's going to get all dressed up to go work for a company being run by a man, and she has no problem with that. So why can't she work for me and go out build a network that I really won't have time to do. She just needs to put herself in the right places, even as a soccer mom, even going to the gym, and network with women who are other soccer moms, and they're married to successful men, and some of those successful men will be investors. Some of them will be vendors, and I'll get preferential pricing. But a woman can be very valuable whether I have a company or I'm an engineer or an attorney looking for a better law firm, or clients for my law firm. That's being valuable. That's doing more than cooking, cleaning, and as a man once told me, cleaning my plow. She's providing value. She's actually an asset at that point. She's, instead of just spending money and being an expense, she's actually bringing money. She's bringing value to the table. She's bringing value that supports the well-being of the entire family long term. And this is something I talk about a lot. If you guys have ever heard of a guy named Grant Cardone, Grant Cardone is a billionaire. I think he got his billions initially in real estate. Now he does a bunch of other things, buys and sells companies. And someone I know personally asked him on Clubhouse, is it important to you to have your wife network? Does she have a network? And he said, oh, absolutely. He said, in that last recession of 2008, he said, one of the things that kept my company profitable, that allowed me to do as well as I did during that recession, was because of my wife and her network. She opened doors for me. And so that's a guy who's already successful, and his wife has a network. And that, you know, there are lots of guys who are successful, who are either on the path of high success or already are, and they choose women who generally can open doors. That woman is not going to say, well, you know, I did my job because I cooked for you, I had sex with you, and the house is clean. Technically, you could outsource those things to someone else. So a woman needs to be thinking about how she's going to be an asset, and we don't really teach that to girls and women. It seems like we spend more time teaching girls how to lead men covertly. Yeah. We are in the middle of that now. We're in a tug of war with women. I'll stop there.
I wouldn't say it's a tug of war, Mr. Santos. I would say it's almost like a train wreck. They done fired the conductor. Runaway train.
There are a couple of comments that are interesting. Research shows that married men have lower testosterone than their unmarried counterparts. I wonder... So these really powerful men, I wonder if having an affair helps keep his testosterone up. That would be an interesting finding.
You know what? Then again, once you mention it, Ted, somebody brought that up. That dude raised a point. What he do, you know, not saying I would do it, but they end up, you know, going ahead and messing around on their wife. They would, you know, kind of raise a bell with me when you say.
Yeah, yeah. So if a guy has, you know, a concubine, he's got several women, he's probably has higher testosterone because he has access to different women that support keeping his testosterone up. Also, should simps do what is right, or should they do what works? Look, if what works has you compromise your manhood, then you're in trouble. You just don't know it. You're in trouble and don't know it. You can pretend all you want that you're a player and you're getting what you want. actually given up a lot to get sex. And in the end, the woman is not really going to care about you as much as you want, as you think, because she knows that she can leave you and get you to do whatever she wants. You'll do what works instead of what's right. And it becomes very difficult to check a woman who knows you'll just do whatever works, provided you're being led by her. It seems like women don't have the same kind of principles as men. Go ahead, Kendrick.
Like you're saying, it's more I would say, manipulation to it than it being led by that woman. Because she knew exactly what she doing. Oh, he a greenhorn. I can use this one. She can smell you coming a mile away, kid.
Yeah, and so look, if you're allowing yourself to be manipulated, you're being led. Even if
right.
you like, well, I'm getting sex, I'm getting what I want out of it. Like, is that worth it?
I look at the reward versus the risk versus the reward, Mr. Santo. That's how I weigh things out. And if the risk is more of a risk than the reward, then I call it quits. You know what I'm saying? I just bag up off of it.
Right. The risk is you lose your manhood, right? That's the cost, right? The risk of losing your manhood. And if you lose it, it's a cost. And a lot of guys have lost their manhood. And, you know, I hear guys now saying they're now playing tit for tat. They're, whatever the woman does, they do it back to her. Instead of them correcting things, they are now following the woman. And this
mm-hmm.
And so when you go down that path, it may not look like a risk, but it's a slippery slope. And then once you slip, most people are going to justify why they do it. I had some guys get upset with me. I told them, basically, I said they had no power. By doing that, you're playing the same game a woman plays. The woman, you know, the woman started that game. Now you're doing it too. You have no power. Men with power don't have to do that. And man, they were not happy. They were upset with me.
Well, but you were telling them the truth, though. Some people just got to hear the truth, T. That's all it is to it.
Yeah,
they just got to hear the truth. They may hate you for a little while, but later on, Ted, once that message really get out in their subconscious, they'll think about, you know, Mr. Santo did try to tell me that once upon a time ago. You know what I'm saying? It's going to come back to them, you know.
It'll be in their best interest. Because, look, how does any civilization function without manhood? It's what builds civilizations. It's what protects it. It's what adds security, risk, innovation. You know, innovation requires a high level of risk taking. And, you know, it's not to condemn women, that nature did that. Women don't take those kinds of risks. They haven't commercialized any industries. And as men, if we accept that, we just need women to accept that, not try to compete on a playing field where they don't have the equipment. They don't have the biochemistry to compete on that playing field. That's why the Olympics has women competitors and male, because we're not on the same biochemical playing field. And so there are some women who will try and argue and say, well, 99% of the genetics and DNA, the DNA between men and women are the same. Well, 98% of the genetics between a chimpanzee and a human is the same. But human beings, at least most of us, don't look like chimpanzees. I guess some women do, and they try to hide it with makeup and a wig. But technically, they're still not a hairy-ass chimpanzee with, you know, those long arms and feet that are long, and they're not hanging from by their feet. So you get what I'm saying. So, look, it seems like women don't understand what 1% means. If you're in an airplane and it's flying from New York to Los Angeles, and you're 1% off on your flight pattern, just 1%, 1 degree, 1% off, You're not going to make it to Los Angeles. You're going to end up somewhere else, depending on if you're 1% north or south. You could end up in Mexico instead of Los Angeles. So 1% makes a major, major difference. And I already talked about the difference in the way men and women's brains function. Women could be upset about that and disagree with it, but that's not my opinion. I'm not very interested in talking about my opinion. And I won't say I have never, not tonight, but you know, I like talking about the facts. And every country in the world needs manhood, because if it didn't, women would have packed up and left already.
Oh, T, a whole lot of women would have been wound up on the chopping block right by now. But think about it. Let that sink in for a second. It's men that's protecting women on the daily. Think about the laws, and you think about, like I was telling you and Mr. Joe, think about law enforcement. You think about the Pentagon, the CIA, the FBI, the DOD. You think of all those different agencies. Come on now. You got trafficking. You got pedophilia and everything else going on out here. How are you not protected, kid, if you got all these different agencies of men protecting you? Maybe somebody done dropped me on my head and called me Lulu or something. But how are you not protected in the first world country, kid?
They're only, women are protected by men. That's it. They're not protected by other women. Women can scream all they want, and the guy's going to do what he wants. It's men who keep other men in check. And look, women still get raped and robbed, just like boys and men get raped and robbed. In fact, I said this before, more boys and men get raped in the United States than girls and women. It's the first country in the world where that happened. So it's men who keep order. And the more you condemn manhood and the more you water down manhood, the more chaotic things will become. You got men wearing dresses, proudly wearing dresses now. So and women
well,
are saying...
We can't. Well, I'm like you, though, Ted. We can't afford to do no more watering down manhood because we see where it's at already.
So I'm
with you on that.
What are your final words, takeaways, final thoughts for this conversation tonight?
My takeaway, Ted, I would say manhood was right from the beginning, and men need to, you know, we got to take back our rightful place with the manhood thing that our Creator gave us. Those of us who are part of, who call ourselves a part of decent society.
Okay. Well said. Yep. So, you know, I think I've said my final words just a few minutes ago. And I understand guys who want to be players and, you know, it gets you lots of sex, but I can tell you that being a man who stands for something and creates boundaries can make women way more wet than a player having fancy lines. And the women who are uncomfortable with manhood, let that be their problem, not yours. Many of them come around later, but it, ultimately, as a man, that's not your problem. It's not your place to have to take an adult female and have to hold her by the hand and teach her how to engage with manhood. That's something her parents were there to do, and if they didn't, her parents failed her.
They failed her miserably, dear.
Yep. It's not your job to take a woman to kindergarten and educate her on how to engage in with manhood. So, listen, the question of doing what's right or doing what's worse, and maybe at some point there are some men who are going to have to take women in groups by the hand and educate them on how to engage with manhood. If manhood is absolutely critical for the planet, for a family, for a nation, and no man should ever give it up for fear of being falsely accused of being toxic or any other thing. And this pandemic has proven that, because you notice toxic masculinity went away when the pandemic came, because women want to be protected ultimately, and that is our job. So always love your support, guys. Thanks for joining. Thanks for your support. Love when you guys call in. This is a topic that can never go away. And maybe it's been part of all of my shows in the past, but sort of in the background. And today I wanted to put it on the table. So I appreciate you guys in engaging me. Would have been interesting to have a woman come on to the show and tell me I was absolutely wrong for everything I say and everything every man on this show has said. We didn't get that. So have a great night and a great week, Kendrick. Everyone enjoy your evening. I'll see you guys soon with more stuff. If you haven't liked the video, smash the like. If you haven't subscribed, subscribe and hit the bell and share this video. Take care, everyone. Good night and enjoy the week. Bye.